Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Man. Church, he's here. Just lift your hands towards heaven. I can't leave this yet. I just can't move on yet. Just lift your hands towards heaven. Lord, we worship you. Father, we worship you and we praise you here this morning, Lord. Lord, we're dry and we're thirsty here this morning. Lord, we are a needy people in need of a big God. Father, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Yes, fill them, Lord. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them, Lord. Let your glory fall, Lord. Let your glory fall. Yes, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Here this morning, I know there are so many people who are just, they have literally been fighting a battle. And I'm here to tell you this morning that you got a great big God who's not afraid of any battle that arises in your life. Man. Yes, Lord. Fill them, Lord. Fill them. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We're going to continue here this morning. We're going to continue in our series, in our foundations of faith. I'm going to try to cover two of them here this morning. Number six, which is that we believe in sanctification subsequent to the new birth through the faith in the blood of Christ, through the Word, and by the Holy Ghost. And number seven, we believe in holiness to be God's standard of living for his people. When people become Christians, the Holy Spirit participates in their lives so that they can respond with obedience to God. Christians no longer pursue the same life they did before following Christ. They live a new life characterized by truth and goodness, not sin. In this new life, Christians are motivated by the desire to be like Christ and to abandon wrong motives and detrimental pursuits. This new life in Christ is to be a life that is cleansed by the Spirit and often referred to as holy or sanctified life. This type of life is one that allows the fruit of a Christian character to grow and flourish in it. Such a life of holiness involves devotion to God in one's personal life, as well as expressing God's love in one's society. A life permeated with holiness is a life that is patterned after Christ and led by the Holy Spirit. It's the surest sign that we are Christians. Your life will tell people whether or not you are a Christian. And you're not just one in word only. Number one, what is sanctification? The meaning of sanctification. The Greek verb for sanctify, Mike told me I'm supposed to try to pronounce these words so you all think I'm really good. I told him there's no reason to. That's how you spell it. To make holy. It's set apart, dedicate, or purify. The noun sanctification means holiness or separation from the profane or obscene things and actions. Properly speaking, the main aspects of sanctification are separation from what is sinful and consecration to what is righteous and holy. Sanctification, though distinct from subsequent to the new birth, begins at your Christian, in the beginning of your Christian walk. Sanctification is also fundamental to the entire Christian life. Sanctification does not happen overnight. You can get saved. You give your life to Jesus. If you was to give your life to Jesus here this morning and you made that commitment and said, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I give everything in my life to you. And you leave this service and you get in your car and you go off of Oak onto Bandy and a car hits you and you die, you're going to make heaven your home. I believe that. Sanctification is an ongoing process. So whenever I say people are challenging my sanctification, you all know what that means, right? Amen. We all have them people in our life where they are challenging our sanctification. They're challenging this process of living a holy life. Sanctification happens throughout your lifetime. As long as you are breathing, God is still working on you and sanctifying you. That's why he says, be holy, for I am holy. It's because you're going through a sanctification process. And whenever the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you about something that is in your heart and in your mind, it may be something that he brings up that was 20, 30 years ago. And he'll bring up a name and you'll go, I haven't thought about that person in 20 years. And all of a sudden he'll say, you never forgave them. I didn't. And you'll go, well, I know why I didn't forgive them. They were rotten turkeys. Did me wrong, did my family wrong, and you know what we end up doing? Now we hold on to that resentment. You're wrong now. Because now the Holy Spirit has dealt with you on something. Now you have a choice to make. Do I give the gift of forgiveness, or I hold on to my right to be right? And whenever you give that gift of forgiveness, because the Holy Spirit brought that to your remembrance, He brought that thing to you. And if you give it back and you say, Lord, I give that person that gift of my forgiveness, He is now sanctifying you again. It's an ongoing process. Sanctification comes through the Word of God. Oh, I jumped over one. Sheesh. Sanctification is a work of God. In the Bible, sanctification is something God does. Sanctification through Christ. Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is our sanctification. Therefore, apart from Him, we cannot be holy. You cannot do this on your own. You cannot be holy on your own. You cannot cleanse yourself. Take all the baths you want. It does nothing for your spirit. It does nothing for your soul. Give all the money you want to. Spend all your time that you want to here at this church. It ain't going to make you holy. Only His blood can make you holy. Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is our sanctification. Therefore, apart from Him, we cannot be holy. The phrase, through faith in the blood of Christ, connects sanctification to the death of Christ. We accept sanctification and appropriate it in our lives only through our faith in Him. Faith is believing, obedience that accepts the power of God. The saving power works through the death of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and it enables us to be holy people. Christ gave Himself for us that might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people that were zealous for good works. That was in Titus 2:14. Our response of trust to the power of the cross makes effective the new life of obedience to which God has called every believer. Number two, sanctification through the Word of God. Sanctification rests on the death of Christ at Calvary, but it is through the truth of God's Word that believers are sanctified. Christ prayed to the Father for His disciples, "Sanctify them by Your truth. Your word is truth," in John 17:17. God's word communicates His truth and gives us wisdom for spiritually balanced living. The reason why our lives are in such a mess sometimes is because we do not live a balanced life. As much as I like ice cream, I believe ice cream came straight from the throne room of God. Especially salted caramel with crushed up cone in it. Oh, hallelujah. There's nothing better as far as I'm concerned. Guess what? I'm not allowed to have it all day, every day. Apparently, it affects your body figure. Apparently, whenever you do that, the doctor says, you have high cholesterol, and you have high blood pressure because you eat ice cream 3 times a day. That's called an unbalanced diet. It's the same thing when it comes to living and with the Word of God. You have to have a balanced diet with the Word of God. If the only thing you're putting in you is what comes out of my mouth on Sunday morning, you ain't getting anything from God. He gave you the opportunity. He has given you eyes to see, ears to hear, and ability to think and read on your own. Read it. Let me tell you something. First-hand knowledge is a whole lot better than second-hand knowledge. There's a whole lot more, it means a whole lot more to me when God speaks to me directly than whenever somebody else speaks it to me. You know, if the only time I heard from my dad is whenever he talked to my brother, and my brother told me what my dad said, there's going to be a lot of miscommunication that goes on. But I love it whenever my dad and I just talk on this earth. I love it when my dad shares his heart to me and I get an opportunity to share my heart with him on this earth. How much more would it mean to us if we would just share our heart with our Heavenly Father and for Him to share His heart with us? That was a good spot to say amen. Thank you. I appreciate your enthusiasm. Number three, sanctification through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Since the Holy Spirit has given the Scriptures, He always leads believers to live according to them. He works through the Word of God, preparing and enabling believers through His sanctifying work to walk in obedience to God and His Word. You know, it's one thing to have head knowledge. It's another thing to have heart knowledge. How many of you know how your children are going to act before the incident ever arrives in their life? Come on. I know what Anthony is going to do. I know what Allie's going to do before I say anything to them. I know what response I'm going to get out of both of them. Why? I've spent time with them. I know what my wife's thinking before I even say it. Some of it ain't good. Not saying I blame her, just saying. So how is it you know what God wants for your life if you've never spent time with Him? You know how many it takes, you know the minimum amount of people it takes to have a relationship? Do you know you can't have a relationship by yourself? Come on. You can't have a relationship by yourself. It takes two. You know how you have to have a friendship? You have to have a friend. Do you know how you have to have a spouse? You have to marry them. So why is it we can think that we can have this relationship if it's only about us? Let my marriage be only about me. How long do you think that thing will last? Right? You know, I'm going to meddle. I'm meddling. I had one of the kids yesterday at the baseball game, and he's a good kid, really good kid, okay? He has never given me one problem, but he is a very, very, very competitive kid, and he does not like to lose. And when he loses, he's a pouter. And he pouted. His dad caught him pouting. He went through the line to shake hands, and he put his hands behind his back and would not shake anybody's hand. I didn't see it. His dad's seen it. His dad's a high school baseball coach. And his dad, while I'm talking to the team after the game, walks out and grabs his son. How many of you are familiar with that walk? I know I am. Where the dad knows where this hook is at, right here, with his hands, and he just goes right here, and you have no choice but to walk on your tippy toes. And tells him, walk on over there and shake that team's hand. So, he shakes a couple of their hands. Well, it's his dad's weekend. He's supposed to go to his dad's this weekend. He refused to get in his dad's car afterwards. He's like, you embarrassed me in front of my friends. I ain't going nowhere with you. I went, oh, help you, Jesus. And I'm sitting there, and I'm staying back. I'm just coach, not dad. But dad is going, oh, let Anthony say that one time. He's going to be homeless in Jesus' name. I'm sitting there, and I'm watching. His dad pretty well convinced him. I think we all know how that happened. Everybody in this room knows how the convincing came along. Convinced, he gets in, goes about his way, they head on home, and I'm sitting there thinking, it takes a relationship. It takes the father and the son both. There can't be, how can you have an argument if it's just with you? People begin to talk. People begin to talk whenever you are always arguing with yourself. I know. Michelle talks about me all the time now because she has heard me in that office arguing with myself. The conversations that I can hold in an office by myself. Sanctification is a process, and it takes the Father. It takes the Son. You cannot, in the Holy Ghost, you cannot do this thing on your own. You cannot just have head knowledge. You got to have heart knowledge. And you cannot tell me that you love Jesus and that you never spend any time with Him. If the only thing my wife got from me was a text saying I love you, but she never saw me, I never spent no time with her, what eventually is she going to say? Yeah, right. Why do you find everything time for everything else, but no time for me? I've gotten those text messages, and I've gotten those phone calls. I know none of you have. And I'll say, hey, I'm... Got this going on. And then she'll say, and where do I belong? Who? Right. The reason why our lives are in such a mess is because we cannot be sanctified because we have not spent any time with Him. I got to get moving along. There yet. Here's where I am. The Holy Spirit is in believers, always working to conform their thoughts, speech, and actions so that they may become more and more like Jesus Christ. As we walk with the Holy Spirit, He cleanses and transforms our lives daily. We are not simply given a fresh start by the Holy Spirit and left to ourselves. Rather, in sanctification, we are led by the Spirit and learn not to indulge in our fleshly desires. Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. God in His grace forgives our shortcomings and teaches us through our weaknesses. As human beings, we are not yet perfect, and we live in an imperfect world. Man, aren't we reminded of that every day? Until we are one day made complete and are with God in heaven, we are confronted with temptation that appeal to the desires of our flesh. Number three, sanctification also is a task of God's people. The process of putting sanctification into action is both the work of God and the work of His people. You have to work at this thing. Don't rely on God to do it all. You got to work at it too. With the Holy Spirit's guidance, we are to put sanctification in action. The Holy Spirit cleanses, prepares, and empowers us for Christ-like living. But our work, while being submissive to the Holy Spirit, helps put sanctification into action in practical ways in our lives. We are to separate ourselves from wrongdoing and to commit ourselves to pursuing the things of God, as told in the Old Testament. God sanctified His people in Exodus 31:13. But they were also told to sanctify themselves in Numbers 11:18. God's people were to be faithful, separating themselves from other nations so that they could be by His people and could walk in His ways. It is through a disciplined life that the grace of God is allowed to continue. It takes discipline. You have to work at this thing. I'm sorry, I use baseball analogies a lot. It's around my life all the time. The greatest baseball players fail 70% of the time, are successful 30% of the time. But in order for them to be successful even 30% of the time, they have to have great discipline in their skills. In order for you to master something, I think the statistics say it takes around 10,000 hours. 10,000 hours. Anthony will go through a hitting slump. And I'll look at him and I'll say, well, when's the last time you set the net up and hit? It's been a couple weeks. He'll go out there and he'll hit for a half hour and he'll do that for 4 or 5 days straight. And all of a sudden, he'll come back out of that hitting slump and start hitting the baseball again. Are you in a slump? When's the last time you got in His presence? When's the last time you read His Word? When's the last time you just allowed Him to pour into you? When's the last time you just poured into Him? I'm getting out of meddling again. The strength to live a disciplined Christian life is a gift directly from God. Paul emphasized this truth when he urged the Philippian believers, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Philippians 2:12-13. Listen, it says there to work out your own salvation. And everybody wants to stop it there as to reasons why they can do what they want to do. Well, the Bible says to work out your own salvation. Yes, it does. But you forgot the second part, with fear and trembling. Now listen, I didn't act up around my dad whenever I was a kid. You know why? I feared the man. I knew what he would do if I stepped out of line. I knew what my dad would do to me. He'd be up there preaching. Y'all know my dad, just a kick-stomping, sweating, snorting, spitting preacher. And he'll be going at it. And me and my brother, who's 2 years younger than me, will be just kind of needling each other back and forth. And my mom, she did this. That's all she would do. It didn't matter where we was at in the sanctuary. We could be a sanctuary of 10 or 10,000. It didn't matter. You heard that? You knew what that meant. Sit up. And you still kept on going at it. My dad could be in the middle of anything. Woo! Boys, your mom's trying to get her attention. Come on up here and sit down. Oh, Lord, help. Oh, sweet Jesus, we're going to get beat today. We found an altar. Lord, protect my hind end. Lord, let my dad be merciful. Lord, we know that You are merciful, God. Give me a merciful daddy. We found Jesus. When you fear God, you will not test the waters and see how far you can go with your flesh. Every aspect of our being, soul, spirit, come on up here, Eric. Every aspect of our being, our soul, our spirit, and body is to be submitted to God, for Him to conform us to the likeness of Christ. There are no shortcuts to holiness. No shortcut. It's a long, painful road. Like the pastor says, becoming a Christian does not mean everything's going to be rosy. If it did, there'd be a whole lot more people in this thing. You give your life to Jesus, take a bayonet, because now you're in a war. You're warring with your friends, your family, your coworker, your boss, and the worst one you got to fight with is yourself. I sometimes just want to be fleshly for just a minute. That's all it would take, Elaine, is for me to be fleshly for just a minute, and I could get people's attention. Greg, you let me be fleshly for just a minute. Just a minute. Just a minute. That's all it's going to take, Jet. Just a minute. If I be fleshly for a minute, you know what's going to happen? Help them, Jesus. What's that song? Not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. Sometimes I want to try that out and see if I still got it. I know I'm really not that big and bad anymore, but I'm still trying to convince my son that I am. I was just saying, every dad in here knows exactly what I mean when I say that. Yeah. My dad's 50-some years old. I still think he could kick my butt. Just because he reminded me that every day. 37. Still think he could probably kick my tail. There's no shortcuts in this thing. It's a grind. It's every day getting up with your mind fixed on Him. If you get up in the morning with your mind fixed on Him and not on the things of this world, the problems are still going to arise. Situations are still going to come up. But the difference is there's peace in every one of them. It takes discipline. I don't always want to think about Jesus when I get up in the morning. I don't always want to think about Jesus when somebody cuts me off in traffic. I didn't want to think about Jesus when I had that customer come over and put their finger in my chest and tell me how they were going to kick my butt because I was going to shut their cable off. I didn't want to think about Jesus then. I wanted to see if I could point that finger back at Him. But it's discipline. It's a grind. It's not easy. It takes a disciplined life. It takes a disciplined life. Just go and stand with me.